morning. And today, you know, this is the month we've set aside to celebrate or give thanks to God for the 90 years that He has blessed our church. And I want to make a few statements here. First, I want to thank God for the pastors that He has blessed our church with. Not only the ones that are here today, but the ones through the years. God has blessed our church with some men of God, everything from senior pastors to assistant pastors, youth pastors, so forth. If they're called men of God, I thank the Lord for them. And we should thank God that He has sent men to this church through the years that preached the gospel, took a stand on the truth, proclaimed the truth, and were willing to lead the church. And I thank God for that. Now today, I thank God for the pastors we have here. We have Pastor Moser, Pastor Emeritus. I thank God for him, and I thank God for Will. He's back here somewhere. There he is. So he's my brother, but he's also a pastor here. And I thank God for Pastor Will. I know he works with the youth, he works with the children, and he does a lot of things behind the scenes that no one ever sees or ever thinks of. That's part of pastoring, and I thank God for him. And so this month, I've asked him to preach this morning. Next week, I'll be preaching, and then Pastor Moser will preach 2 weeks from today, and then we'll have our conference. And I've asked him to just give the message that God has placed upon their heart for our church. So, Will.
I started up here and he wasn't leaving, so I thought I can just give him my notes and let him go. See how that works out. You guys might like that even better. I think I might like that better. I'm thankful I can be here. Thankful Pastor gave me the opportunity. And anytime I stand before y'all, I always get nervous. I don't know if there's a time that you're not supposed to get nervous, but I always get nervous. And if y'all can't tell, you'll tell that I talk really, really fast. So I'm really going to concentrate this week or today about not talking as fast. And so when you get out of here at like 1 o'clock, you can be thankful that I'm trying to slow myself down, right? In that case, let's speed up. Also, you guys have, it's a double whammy you got going against you today. I look back there and the clock's not working. And right before, Pastor asked me what time it was, and I don't have my watch. So I'm sorry, guys. It's going to be a long day. Well, let's hope not. As he asked me a while back to be praying about bringing a message on our 90th anniversary, and there's a lot of things I'm thankful for. The first one is the fact that I get to go first. So whatever I say, Pastor and Brother Moser, they got to switch theirs up. They got to correct me afterwards, but I get to go first and say everything. And, you know, there's more than enough stuff there that we're not going to cover or go over each other, I guess you'd say. But in case we do, I don't have to sit there this week and try to, well, he already covered that. I need to go back and re-say that, or I need to figure out how I'm going to say that. He's already, so if I preach your message, Brother Moser, Pastor, I'm sorry, I get to go first. That's the benefit of going first. You just get it out of the way. But as I began to think about it, you know, sometimes you don't realize the obvious things that are right in front of you. And one of the things I realized is that it's kind of funny that this year is our 90th anniversary, but I realized that me and Angie have been here 10 years as well this year. And I thought, wow, 10 years, it kind of goes by fast. And when you think about it, or when I thought about it in those terms, I started thinking more of a personal issue or more of a personal anniversary. I thought, you know, when I was thinking, I don't know if I'm wrong in this, but when I first started thinking of Central Baptist Church, 90 years, I thought of the buildings, the places, the things, all the different components that go into it, and 90 years of this and this. But then when I stopped and thought about it, it's 10 years for me being here, it brought it more personal to myself. I started thinking of the people, the friendships that I've made. The people that are maybe that were here when I came, or maybe, and I hope I didn't run them off, but the people who maybe aren't here, the people who weren't here when I came, who are here now. Personally, I can think of my family. There's two more that we've added to our family that weren't here 10 years ago when we got here. I think about the personal friendships that we've made, the people that we've come into contact, that God has placed us in our lives. I think about the souls that we've seen come to Christ, and the lives that we have seen change. I think of all the different things that I call them things, okay? But the different events, the different activities we've done. Every year, it seems like we go through vacation Bible school, and every year, all the workers and everyone is just so extremely tired. But you don't hear of the results, you don't hear of the fruit, you don't hear of the blessings that come from that. And I got to share this. Pastor mentioned or told me yesterday that we had one of the kids that came to vacation Bible school this past year that doesn't go here. But she made a profession of faith after she came here, and her mother said that she really believes it was because of the work that was done here. And I don't say that to bring anyone glory. I say that to say that 90 years of an anniversary, 90 years of history is exactly that. It's people. It's not a building. It's not lights. And I'm thankful for that air conditioning that I heard turn on. It's not air conditioning. It's people. A 90-year anniversary, we celebrate or we think back of the history of the people that have come before, of the friendships, of the things that we've seen. I don't like, I'm more of a cookie cutter. I like things to go a certain way. I like to have a schedule, and I like to go like that. I like to go by that. If things are going to change, get me notice. I want to know what's going on. My past 10 years, not the past 90 years of this church, have not been like that. We've had highs. We've had lows. We've had struggles. We've had trying times. But God has guided us through that. That's our history. That's Central Baptist's 90 years of history. That's my history in my short 10 years I've been here. The church has grown. The church has been blessed. And I don't mean just numbers. I mean spiritually. I believe the church has spiritually grown. We've gotten closer to Christ. And this morning as I began to, Not this morning as I prepared this message. This morning as I was thinking about it, I thought, how does this apply to us as a church? How does our 90-year anniversary, if I can even say that without stumbling over myself, how does that apply to us? How do we fit in the Bible? Well, I think, first of all, we need to be thankful for what God's given to us. It's nothing that we've done. It's no credit to us, but this is God's church. And God has chosen to keep us here for 90 years. And first and foremost, we need to give Him glory. But this morning, I want us to look at the importance of our history. Now, I've heard it said before, if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. Well, then I read another quote. It said, those who don't know their history, or those who know their history anyway, will just find another way to mess up anyway. So I kind of believe that. It's important for us to know our history. But I want to see how that fits into us as a church at Central Baptist. Let's open our word of prayer. Dear Lord, I come before you thanking you for all your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for keeping us here as a church for over 90 years. Lord, we know it's nothing that we've done, but it's because you've chose to keep us here. Lord, this is your church. There's nothing that we can do to protect it or can do to preserve it. But Lord, just seek to serve you. Seek to carry out your will. Seek to do what you've put us here to do. Lord, we're thankful for the memories. We're thankful for the times you've put us here for. Thankful for all the blessings that we didn't deserve. And Lord, this morning I pray that you just help us to see your will this morning, Lord. Lord, I'm not going to bring anything that's not already there, that they haven't already heard preached this morning, Lord. So Holy Spirit, I pray not more of you, but less of me. We ask that you just speak to our hearts, open our eyes, and Lord, let us be tender to the Holy Spirit. In your name I pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I want to look at our history. What part our history plays in our life. Matthew chapter 1, and you're going to say, this sounds kind of weird. And believe me, it kind of does. But we're going with Matthew chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 2, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. Okay, now if you go through the next few verses, you're going to see that kind of continues. This person begat this person, who begat this person. If you would, skip with me down to verse 17, if you would. It says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, I believe this is in the Gospels on purpose. And I believe Matthew starts off this on purpose. One reason is we see the line of Christ. We see that Christ was from the line of David. We see the importance of that. But I also think it's there for another reason. We see the history that starts off right here in the New Testament. We see the history of Jesus Christ. But I don't believe that we are supposed to look at the history and focus and make the history all we care about. But this history is there for a reason, and it's there to lead us to something else. If you would skip with me down to 21, I want to show you what that history is there for. Verse 21 says, and talking about Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. I believe the history is there to lead us to someone else. The history we find right there, the genealogy of Christ is there to not focus upon the history, but to lead us to Jesus Christ. Loved ones, I want to talk to you this morning. Our history is great at Central Baptist Church. We have a rich history, and our history should not be there for us to focus upon it and to just dwell upon it at all times, but our history at Central Baptist Church should be there to lead us to something else, to lead us, I'm going to say, to our future, to lead us to our present time here, what we have to do here. Our focus is exactly that. I'm thankful for our history. I'm thankful for the all the things that have gone before, all the people who have come here before. But we can't sit here and make that our number one priority. This morning I want to talk about what part our history plays. First of all, I believe we need to learn, or I guess you'd say, let our history be part of our future. I don't think we need to wipe our history away and say, oh, it's our history, let's not talk about it. No, we know about it. Our history is there for a reason. Most of the Bible is about things that have already happened. If we didn't learn any history, we wouldn't learn most of the Bible. But our history is there, I believe, to be part of our future. We have a rich history over the 90 years that this church has been here. You think about what has happened over the 90 years. I don't know how many pastors have come and preached behind this, maybe not this pulpit, but the pulpit of Central Baptist Church. You think of, and I'll tell you this from personal experience, the countless hours that go into a message. Brother Moser, do you have any idea how many messages you preach at Central Baptist? A lot. I can tell you that. A lot. Pastor, do you have any idea how much? No. And how long was your dad pastor of the church, Brother Moser?
From 1931 to
1931. A lot of years. A lot of messages. I heard an illustration one time. A man wrote in saying that he doesn't remember. He doesn't go to church because he didn't remember the last message that he could recollect or recall anything that he remembered from. He said, I don't need to go to church because I don't remember any of the messages. Well, this other man told him, he said, you know what? I've been married for several years and I don't remember half the meals that my wife cooked for me, but I knew they nourished me, they met my needs, and they kept me going. Guys, think about all the messages, all the hours, all the prayer, the tears that the pastors that have been here have been preaching no matter who walked through those doors. I'm thankful for our history. I'm thankful for the men of God who have declared the Word of God to those in the seats. Think about this. Think about all those teachers that have filled the churches, that filled the classrooms. I've heard stories. Miss Jerry, I'm going to pick on you. I'm sorry. I heard Miss Jerry, and she would going to get me after this for saying this, but I remember Miss Jerry telling me she would go out to the playgrounds where the kids were and just get kids to come to church. Go ask them to come to her Sunday school class. And she would fill her Sunday school class up from just walking around picking up kids at the park. Now, you can't do that nowadays, but it was a different time then. And I'm thankful for the teachers. I remember, and I wasn't part of Central Baptist Church at the time, but I remember going to Sunday school classes of teachers like that who cared, who just brought you in, who just wanted to be there. I'm thankful for the teachers that over the years that we probably couldn't even list that have taught the classes here at Central Baptist Church. I'm thankful for those who have put in work behind the scenes. I'm thankful for Brother CD fixing the mower I break every time I mow. That's countless, right, Brother? And Brother John, too. I'm thankful for the times. I'm thankful for all the people who've done the work. I've heard stories, and I'm not sure if it was when y'all were down in Markham, when this church had asphalt ground, and I know this was probably state of the art or something, but it had asphalt ground and open ceiling, and it was a beautiful building because the men would come down after work and they would build it by hand. They would put it together. I'm thankful for the work that was put in to make Central Baptist grow. I'm thankful for the work that was done. I think of last year, or a little over a year ago when we had a flood. I think it was in May of last year, I believe it was. Yes, we did actually have rain here, believe it or not, at one time. We had a flood, and I'm thankful. I think it was a long Friday night that we sent several people down here moving books, moving stuff, cleaning carpets. I'm thankful for the work that goes in, that has went in, to our history. I remember one year we went to church camp, and I think it was the first year, we hadn't been in a while, and the first year we went there, and the stories that I heard of Central Baptist Church. Oh, you're from Central. Oh, I remember when Central Baptist used to come here. I remember they'd bring their bus. Oh, I remember, and the fond memories and the impact that Central Baptist Church has had, not on just Little Rock, but this whole area. I'm thankful for our history, and I think it's important that we know our history. I think it's important that the stories of faith and the stories of commitment strengthen us, encourage us during these times. It's important, I believe, to know our history. Well, not only is it important to know our history, but I think our history needs to lead us into our future. There's a quote by Warren Wiersbe. It says, "Do not say, why were the former days better than these? You do not move ahead by constantly looking in the rearview mirror. The past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to drag you. We must learn from the past, but not live in the past." As a church, Central Baptist Church, we need to learn everything we can from the past. We need to be thankful from the past. But we need to be careful that we don't live in the past. What happens when we live in the past? We get caught up. We get caught up in the past. We forget about the present. And we lose focus upon what our task, what our job, what our reason here is. Think about Jesus. All the miracles. He was walking with, and I, Miss Beth was teaching this morning in Sunday school class, when the blind man was healed. You think about all the miracles that the apostles, the disciples, they got to see firsthand. All the miracles that they got to see. The feeding of the 5,000. All these things. Blind man healed. Blind men healed. Lame man healed. And yet they could have sat around and Jesus could have said, okay, now let's just sit around and talk about all the great things that we did. Let's just sit around and talk about the great things that you saw me do. He had every right to say that, but he didn't, did he? He constantly said, it's important for us to know, but you need to take this and go tell others. You need to take what you've seen and be witnesses of me. Constantly through the Bible, their purpose, the disciples, the apostles' purpose was not to remember everything that happened or to sit around and talk about what had happened, but it was to take what they had seen and to share it with others. We can't get caught up living in the past because before long, the future will pass us by. Their purpose was not to found in where they had been or what they had seen, but it was in where they were going. We need to make sure that we're still going in that right direction. Next, I believe our history will help us to understand that we still have a task to do. Why do we have doctors? Because people get sick. Why do we have policemen? Because people break the law. Why was Central Baptist Church formed overnight or probably well over 90 years ago? Because there was a need. There was a need for the gospel message in Little Rock, Arkansas. The only reason that we have Central Baptist Church is because there's a need for lost souls. There's a need for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why are we here today? Because there's a need. There's a need for us today. We need to remember that our history teaches that we still have a task to do. There's still something for us to do. We have a reason to exist. There's a purpose for our church. And what is that? Turn with me to Matthew. You're already in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And most of y'all, see, I've been in Arkansas 10 years, so I'm saying y'all now. Most of you, all, probably could quote this by memory, but I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It's important to know your doctrine. It's important to know this isn't just to every person out there. This is to the local church. This is to the church. We need to understand that this command is given to the church. If not, everyone can go out there individually, go out, say, you know, lead someone to Christ, go out and baptize them on the playground. That's not what it's to. This is a command that's given to the church. And love ones, I'm telling you all, as Central Baptist Church, this is a command to us. We are here to fulfill the gospel. Christ has left us here with the command. Not a suggestion, not a maybe, not if you all want to, not if we feel like sharing the gospel, not if we feel like taking the gospel out, but a command. Trust me, I've learned the difference between a suggestion and a command. You know when you're young and your dad tells you to do something and you don't do it? You learn the difference between a command and a suggestion. Suggestion is, well, if you feel like doing this, go ahead. A command is, you do it. And if you don't, guess what? There's consequences for not doing it. And it took me, I was a hard-headed person, it took me several years sometimes to understand what the difference between a command and a suggestion were. Guys, we got a command from Jesus Christ. We are to go and take the gospel. We are to evangelize the world. That is what we are put here to do. Our history shows us that that's what we're here for. Central Baptist Church, when you look at it, has always been a missions-minded church. I believe one of the sayings or the mottos of the church used to be the whole Bible to the whole world. Very simple, isn't it? But isn't that what we're here to do? Take the whole Bible to the whole world. That's all it is. That's the history of Central Baptist Church. Our history shows us they did it before, and guess what? We here, members of Central Baptist Church, we need to keep on doing that. We need to take the whole Bible to the whole world. That's our purpose as a church. Well, you know what? Not only do we have a command to do it, but I'm going to say a word that I didn't like growing up, and I don't know that I necessarily like it all the better now. We have a responsibility. Nowadays, no one wants to be responsible, do we? Even Adam and Eve, was Adam responsible in the garden? No, the first thing he said, he pointed the finger. It was the woman, God, that you gave me that did it. No one likes to be responsible. And you know what? I can't say all the more that I enjoy being responsible now than I did when I was younger. But we have a responsibility. Definition of responsibility is this, a particular burden of obligation. Guys, guess what? As members of this church, we have a particular burden of obligation. And that is to carry out the gospel. I think it goes a couple ways. First of all, I think internally as a church. We look around, we see some of the younger kids here. And I want you to think about this. We have an obligation to teach them. Not just in what we teach them in class, but we have an obligation to teach them in what they see us do. How they see us live. How they see us work. You know, most of these kids here are going to understand how a church works by how they see it work here. And yes, okay, I'm the world's worst at this. Yes, we can do it quicker without involving them. We can make sure it's done, and we may have to have more patience without them. But it's kind of like when you try to cook with kids. It's a little more messy. Takes a little more time to clean up. But really, that's the only way they learn. I'm thankful for Central Baptist Church. And I got to say this one time, I can't remember where I was either teaching or something of that nature. And I remember Brother John's not here. Oh, Brother John, you're not sitting in your normal seat. I looked over there. Brother John, I look over one time, and Brother John, I wasn't able to do something. And I saw Brother John over here, I think it was, with Anthony. And Anthony's shoe was untied. Couldn't tie it. Brother John put down whatever he had going on. I can't remember what it was. He put it down, and he was over there tying Anthony's shoe. Now, that may seem like the most insignificant little thing. But you know what? As a family, as a church, that's what it's all about. Taking the time, teaching these young ones, showing them the love and the kindness that we are to have. Guys, we have an obligation to the next generation. But not only do we have a responsibility to the young ones, but we have a responsibility to this generation now. We're the ones fighting the battles now. We're the ones that are in the world now. We as a church have a responsibility to us here. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Guys, we need to be able to love each other, to strengthen each other, to go to each other when we're struggling, to go to each other when we know they need help. To speak the words of, I won't say criticism, but encouragement, and to, even when it's not easy, to help people through the tough times. Even when it's things they don't want to hear, but you know they need to hear it. I remember hearing things from my dad several times, and they hurt, but I needed them. I needed to hear them. You always remember that? I'm only doing this because I love you? There's so much truth in that. My dad really loved me, let me tell you. Guys, we need, as members of Central Baptist Church, we have a responsibility to edify each other, to encourage, to strengthen. We also have a responsibility to the world outside those doors. You think about it. Someone's going to reach the world. Whether it be with a cult, whether it be with a false religion, whether it be with just a humanism, whatever you do, just do. There is no God. Someone is going to reach the world. We have a responsibility to do it. We have a command. We have a responsibility to do it. And here's the cool thing. Guess what? If you're saved, you're qualified. There's no more classes you need to take on. Well, I'm not sure what to say. That's a pastor's job. That's a teacher's job. No, as members of Central Baptist Church, we've been commanded to go and take the gospel. I found this, and I always like these little quirky things, and so if you get caught up in this, if I don't speak it just rightly, just I'll say it again. Okay, you ready? Speaking about a very simple poem. Okay, but I got to say it slow because you'll see why. It's about a story in a church, and it's about four different people in a church. There's four people in the church, and their names were Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everyone was told to do it. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when actually nobody asked anybody. Guys, that's how it is. Sometimes we say, well, anybody could do it. What's everybody's job? Let's stop looking at everybody else and let's look at us. Let's start with us. It's our responsibility. Guys, our history teaches us that it's our responsibility. Each one, reach one. We all have a responsibility. 1 Corinthians with you, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's just as simple as it is. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he's saying, let's just read verse 6. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, the Bible is simple. Our responsibility is this. We either plant the seed or we water the seed. It's not confusing. It's not, well, I'm not sure what to do. I don't know how to do it. Guys, guess what? We either plant the seed of the gospel And if it's already planted, we water the seed. That's what our calling is to do. We're not called to bear the fruit. We're not called to make the fruit grow. We're not called to do anything else but plant the seed and water the seed. I've learned a lot from gardening, and I'm not a good gardener, but I've learned a lot from the times that I've tried to garden. If you don't plant the seed, nothing's going to grow. And this year, guess what I learned with the drought? If you don't water every day or a lot, it ain't going to grow. Guys, guess what? We need to plant the seeds and water the seeds. Very simple. We just all need to pitch in. We just all need to do our part. I don't know if anyone was watching the men's Olympic volleyball yesterday, but these are professional. Well, I don't know if they're professional. I guess they're Olympic, as good as they're going to get, men's volleyball. And it was the men's volleyball team, and they were playing Russia. And I saw this, and I'm sure, Brother Shadi, I'm sure you've seen this coaching many years. The Russians hit this ball over to the American side. And there's five of the best athletes on the American side. And it wasn't a hard hit, it wasn't a spike, it was just kind of a looper that was coming over. Five of the best trained athletes in the world. And you know what they did? They stopped and they all looked at each other and the ball bounced right in the middle. They all thought the next person was going to get it. They all thought that the next person had the responsibility. But when they all were just, in the end, caught looking around at each other and the ball was landing right in front of them. Our responsibility is to take the gospel. Let's not depend on, let's not wait for the next person. Let's not say, hey, it's their job. Let's take it to the world. We have a responsibility. Well, lastly, I want to ask this question. How do we fulfill, at Central Baptist Church, how do we fulfill our responsibility? Once again, I think we look for our past. We look at our history. It's a blessing that Central Baptist Church didn't go away after 10 years or 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, or 50 years. It's a blessing it's been here over or at least 90 years. But it's important to know that it's not like a closing ceremony. This isn't, okay, we're done. We fulfilled our 90 years. Okay, close the doors. We complete it. Check it off our list. We're done. No, it's a never-ending thing. We have a responsibility. And the question is, how do we fulfill it? We have a responsibility to take the gospel. We understand that down through time, we're in a spiritual battle. We face an opponent that doesn't fight fair. We don't fight the flesh and blood. We fight Satan. But we also understand that we've been equipped with everything that we need to fight him. I think it's important, and I think our history teaches this, as Central Baptist Church, I think it's important that we have the truth right here. If we don't have the truth, what do we have? Nothing. We could have the best activities. We could have the best building. We could have the best vehicles, best parking lot. We could have the best everything. But if we stop teaching the truth, to me, we stop being a church. We have to have the truth. As we go into our future, as our history leads us to our future, we have to always have the truth. Think about in John 5:39 when Jesus was talking to the Jews, and he tells them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They had what they were calling the scriptures. But Jesus said, you know what, you might want to look over that again. You might want to check that out because you don't have the truth. Guys, there's a lot of versions or there are a lot of things that people say, oh yeah, I believe in this, I believe in this. We have to have the truth. If we don't have the truth, if we don't have God's word, what do we have? Nothing. We have to stay to the truth. We have to stay close to the truth. We have to have the truth at all times. And that was another thing, I think, that one of the other mottos of the church, if you would. Yes, it does matter what you believe. It does matter. In this day and age, it does matter what we believe. Why? Because, as Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. If we're off on the scriptures, we're off on eternal life. If we're off on the scriptures, we're off on the truth. It matters what we have. It matters what we believe. And we need, if we're going to be effective, if we're going to see 100 years, if we're going to see 200 years, yes, we'll need the Lord to tarry, but we'll need the truth. We need to stay true to the Bible and stay true to God's Word. Lastly, I think if we're going to go past this, if our history will lead us to the future, we need to do one last simple thing. And that's just put the work in to just do it. It's funny, I've been trying to, I would say, stay in shape. I've always been in a shape, but I've tried to stay in better shape lately. And I'll go to the health food store or Walmart, whatever the case is, and you can look at the different protein shakes or this diet shake or this. And I've seen you've probably seen it with, I don't know, where you shake it, looks like a salt shaker. You shake it on food, and it's supposed to, if you shake it on before this, before you eat, supposed to lose weight. If you take these pills 30 minutes before you eat, and then three more 27 minutes after you eat, then you'll lose weight. They always have something for how to lose weight. But it's funny, if you look at the back of it, and go ahead and read the back part of it. It's funny, they always say something. As you're reading through, at the end it says, if you do this, and then these two words that no one likes to hear, and exercise. Yeah. What? If you shake this on your food, and exercise. If you drink this instead of a meal, and exercise. If you take these pills, and exercise. Guys, when we get down to it, there are no shortcuts. We simply have to do the work. We are called to take the gospel. We can know the Bible. We can know what we're supposed to do. We can have the best history in the world. But if we fail to take the gospel, what good is it? That and exercise. And that's the part that gets me all the time. Oh, man. I got to actually do something. There's more to it. I can't just watch this video. No, I got to end exercise. I got to put the work in. Guys, we have a great history. But if we fail to follow through, what good is it? I want to ask you, in closing, when we look to our history, what do we see? We see 90 years of a church that has been a light in the city of Little Rock. But I think more importantly, our history is not what, but who. Our history is Jesus Christ and Him dying on the cross for our sins. That's our history. As great as we think, and I'm not trying to be as great of a light Central Baptist has been here, it's been here for one reason. To share Jesus Christ. To share the work that He did on the cross for our sins. To tell others what He did. It's not friendships. It's not just friendships. It's not just programs or buildings or places. It's who. It's not a what. It's a who. It's Jesus Christ. Let's be thankful for all the blessings that God's given to us. Let's be thankful for the friendships we've made. Let's be thankful for all the things that He's done. But let's let our history lead us to our future. Let's remember what we've been put here to do, our tasks, our responsibilities, and let's just be willing to take the truth like they did before us and continue on. Our history will lead us to our future. And let me tell you something. I've read the end of the book. Our future is a lot better than where we've been. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You so much for Your blessings. Thank You for Your Son who died on the cross. And Lord, we know that's what it's all about. Lord, there's no reason for us to even be here had You not given us Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we preach about salvation, and that salvation is in You. Can't find it in any other thing, any other person, any other method, but in You. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that there be one here that doesn't know You as their Savior. They may take that time. They may take the time to make sure and check in their life to make sure that they're saved. Make sure that they've received You as their Savior. And Lord, I pray as Central Baptist Church, we just continue to take Your light into a dark world. Lord, we know it's not about where we're at or where we've been. Lord, it's not about how many people are here. We know at the end of your life, all your closest people had left You and forsaken You, Lord. Lord, but I pray we stay committed to the truth. We stay committed to Your Word. We stay committed to sharing what You've given to us. Lord, we're just so thankful. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. As we keep our heads bowed, eyes closed for a few minutes as the piano begins to play, I'll give you opportunity to seek God out if He's worked in your heart here this morning. Perhaps you just want to give God thanks for this church. Maybe you're here this morning and the reason why you know about Jesus and the gospel is because of this church. Someone from this church witnessed to you. Maybe you heard the preaching and you came to Christ. Maybe you want to give thanks today for your salvation and for this church. Perhaps you want to pray for the future that God will continue to bless us. And we will, as Pastor Will said, continue to take the word out, continue to preach, continue to teach, continue to witness, and share with people Jesus Christ.